Welcome to Along the Backbone, podcasts about the evolution of vertebrate anatomy. I'm Dr. Matt Bonnet. The purpose of this podcast series is to explore the evolution of vertebrate anatomy from brains to bones across deep time. Episode 6, How the Dentist Came to Be So Important to Mammals. I hate the dentist. Well, I like my dentist, but I hate going. I suspect many of you don't put a visit to the tooth doctor up on your list of favorite things either. You can blame a number of things for the necessity of dentistry, our love of sugar top among them, but actually the problem is an evolutionary one. We don't often stop to think about it, but doesn't it seem odd that you only get two sets of teeth during your entire life? First you have your baby teeth, technically your milk teeth, and then you get a set of adult teeth. And you better take care of those adult teeth, because when they're gone, they're gone. A love of taffy or hockey will probably further shorten your quality time with your adult teeth. But why is this? Non-mammals, everything from fish to amphibians to reptiles to birds, well, their ancestors anyway, regularly shed and replace their teeth. A shark or crocodile tooth fairy would go broke very quickly. Through a variety of mechanisms, like bullets waiting in a gun's chamber, as one tooth falls out, the next in line grows in to take its place. It's frustrating to think about. I mean, why would non-mammalian vertebrates have it so good? The evolutionary explanation for the difference between all the other vertebrates and ourselves boils down to chewing, or a lack thereof. Many of us were scolded as children to chew our food, take it slow, and not gulp down our meals. Yet, rending chunks of meat or gobs of vegetation, gulping them down in large bolts of food, and then going back for more is precisely what most vertebrates do. The teeth of most fish, amphibians, reptiles, and bird ancestors are pretty much the same front to back. If you're a crocodile, you have a whole bunch of cone-shaped puncturing teeth to crush and dismember big chunks of your prey. An herbivorous lizard, like an iguana, likewise has rounded triangular teeth with little nubs that rip up plant parts and pass them down to the esophagus. Sharks, of course, have pointed, serrated triangular teeth that stab and rip chunks of prey, and the bony fish called a gar has a long, tweezer-like mouth full of pin-like teeth that can quickly seize an unsuspecting passerby. The teeth in all of these aforementioned vertebrates often do not come into contact with one another and often slide past each other like the blades of a scissor. So you may wonder, how are the big chunks of meat or vegetation broken down to be digestible? Well, often, the stomach will be tough and secrete strong acids mixed with powerful enzymes. Sometimes, a portion of the stomach will become toughened into a gizzard, complete with tooth-like projections for pulverizing hard parts like bone. Many vertebrates with a gizzard often swallow small stones and grit to aid this organ with further pulverizing their meals. For herbivores, often a long, slow passage of food through the gut cavity allows symbiotic bacteria to help ferment the foodstuffs so that they break down into edible bits. But we mammals often have none of that. Most of us process food in our mouths before passing it on to our digestive tract, and this habit in our early ancestors selected for numerous biological inventions in our heads. Chewing seems to have evolved in conjunction with higher metabolic rates in mammals, allowing them to break food down for more efficient digestion to fuel their speedy lifestyles. That, in an oversimplified nutshell, is at least part of the story behind our low tooth turnover. But what did chewing mean for mammal jaw muscles and teeth? Well, first, the development of teeth that could interlock and contact one another to enable smashing, cutting, and pulverizing of food was critical. Your dentist would call this tooth-to-tooth occlusion. Along with tooth occlusion, there has been specialization of mammal teeth. Incisors in the front of the mouth nip off small bits of food, the canines behind them stab and puncture food, and the premolars and molars have wide peaks and valleys for grinding food before it is finally swallowed. As a high school kid interested in fossils, I remember being dismayed that my science teachers couldn't tell me how to identify a mammal from just its bones. Well, I have the answer now. And that is, you want to look a gift fossil in the mouth. Mammals are the only vertebrates that possess the specialized arsenal of teeth we have just reviewed. Put simply, if it doesn't have canines, you don't have a mammal. This chewing of food prior to swallowing also meant that the major jaw-closing muscles, called the adductor mandibuli, became more specialized. The upper portion became the temporalis muscle you feel to this day, bulging at your temples when you clench your jaws. This is a fast biting muscle that quickly raises the lower jaw into the upper one. The lower portion became the masseter, a muscle you feel expanding near your jaw joint each time you bite down and grind. In other words, the masseter became a specialized grinder. Because we humans are omnivores, our temporalis and masseter portions of our adductor mandibulae are about the same size, but among other mammals, there is more variation. In dogs, cats, and other carnivores that need a good, strong, quick bite to dispatch prey, the temporalis is more developed than the masseter. The reverse is true in mammals like horses that must grind tough grasses for a living. Here, it's the masseter that's the largest jaw muscle. As a quick aside, changes in the jaw joint, hearing, and palate have also occurred in mammals, but those are topics better chewed over at another time. So how does all this relate back to our original question? Why do we only get two sets of teeth? To create the necessary chewing forces, our teeth have to line up and contact each other in specific ways. Many of us know from experience that misaligned or missing teeth can cause jaw problems, including pain, clicking, and jaw stiffness. Moreover, you're on your way to Root Canal City if certain teeth get overpounded, causing the tooth nerves to inflame and become ouchy, as it is technically known. If we lost our teeth on a regular basis, we would have continual gaps in our dental arcade that would result in popping jaws and painful teeth. So, we have one set of teeth when our mouths are little, and when our mouths start to grow and reach their adult size, those small teeth fall out and are replaced by one set of larger teeth. So the next time you're sitting in the dentist chair with the high-pitched buzz and squeal of the drill echoing through your skull as a cavity is eradicated, you can thank our long-distant common ancestors for your predicament, because they bothered to chew instead of simply ripping up their food. And if you're not thankful, at least this evolutionary quirk stimulates the economy because it keeps your dentist in business. Dr. Matthew Bonin is a vertebrate paleontologist and a functional morphologist who specializes in the evolutionary anatomy of dinosaurs. He teaches embryology, comparative anatomy, and other courses in his current position as professor at Western Illinois University. You can find out about upcoming episodes of Along the Backbone on Dr. Bonin's Along the Backbone blog, alongthebackbone.wordpress.com, and you can also follow Dr. Bonin on Twitter at @MattBonin. Thanks for listening.